I'd like you to listen again to the first verse of our Old Testament reading. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. You know, light is a very precious gift from God. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And there was light. You know, during this time of year, it gets dark quite early outside. I can't help but think about what it must have been like for those first pioneers in North Dakota who didn't have electric lights. Many of them relied upon oil lamps and also candles. In fact, you can all relate to how just one candle can give you light in a room full of darkness. The Bible often uses physical darkness as a symbol for sin and evil, as well as a symbol of the fear and despair caused by the death and eternal damnation that we sinners deserve from God's hand. But in contrast, light is also used as a symbol for the mercy, love, and salvation that come from the hand of the same God. You know, for many years, Christians have lit candles as symbols of the light of hope that shines from Christ and the glorious salvation that He gives to us sinners who would be living in spiritual darkness without Him. That helps us appreciate the Advent wreath. Some of you may know that the Advent wreath was developed centuries ago to help Christians meditate during this season of Advent. You see, during this Advent season, we focus on the first and second comings of Christ. And regarding the Advent wreath, well, the first, second, and fourth candles on our Advent wreath are the color blue, which is the color for hope. And the third candle is pink, which is the color of joy. And the sermon on that night will reflect that theme. But tonight, we light the first blue candle, which we will call the prophet's candle. Why? Well, because tonight we will hear about the prophets who pointed ahead to the first and second comings of Christ, and thereby gave hope to God's people. In fact, I think everyone here would agree that we need hope. On a personal level, you all have various trials in your life. And when additional tragedies are added to the problems you already face, you may begin to lose hope. Of course, our despair is compounded when we look at the hopelessness that exists in the rest of the world. War, famine, sickness, natural disasters, and death. You know, sometimes the future seems hopeless. But what makes things even worse is the fact that we are sinners. You see, we are not innocent victims who deserve to be rescued from a cold, cruel universe. Instead, Scripture teaches that the pain in this world is caused by our rebellion against God. In other words, we deserve present and eternal punishment because of our evil thoughts, wicked words, and devilish deeds that reveal the darkness in our hearts. You know, when the sin of our guilt weighs us down, we feel truly alone. Because only God can help us. And yet, He is the God who ought to damn us for our sins. You know, the people of God in 800 B.C. also needed hope. Not only were they facing the same physical trials and tragedies that we face, but many of them were also aware of their sin against God and the fact that they deserved His wrath. But in the midst of their darkness, God shined a light of hope. God used His prophets to proclaim the good news of the coming Savior. these words are also for us. Listen again to our Old Testament reading. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Did you hear that? Not only did God comfort Israel with the light of His mercy through the coming Christ, God also said that the nations would come to the light of Israel and find hope. Now, the light of Israel is the Son of God, the one named Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, a descendant of David, the son of Abraham, the earthly ancestor of Israel. In fact, you might remember that God told Abraham that all nations would be blessed because of the Savior who would come from his family line. Now, all the prophets of the Old Testament speak of the coming Savior who would bring the light of God's mercy not only to the people of Israel, but also to the nations. That is, the Gentiles who also were living in darkness and needed hope. Paul speaks about this in our reading from Romans chapter 15. Here Paul says that the prophets who wrote in the past are meant to encourage us. And they encourage us as we see how their ancient prophecies were fulfilled in the first coming of Christ. Just as God had promised, Jesus was born to save His people from their sins. And of course, His people are not only the physical descendants of Abraham, but also the Gentiles. In fact, being a physical descendant of Abraham means nothing if one is not a spiritual descendant of Abraham through faith in Christ. Simply put, all who repent of their sin and trust in Jesus are God's forgiven people and have eternal hope. Paul alludes to this truth in Romans 15 when he quotes these words from Isaiah chapter 11. Listen to what he says. The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. Now, Jesse was the father of King David, the ancestor of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in whom the Gentiles have hope. Now, in Romans 15, Paul quotes from other prophets, too. He quotes from 2 Samuel chapter 22, from Psalm 18, from Deuteronomy chapter 32, from Psalm 118. The point is that Paul is showing us that the prophets throughout history pointed to the light of hope found in the first and second comings of Christ. In our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 12, we see that Jesus, who is now on earth during his mission, he ends up healing a man on the Sabbath, thereby proclaiming that He is Lord of the Sabbath, meaning that He is not only the Savior of Israel, but also of all peoples. And Jesus proves this by quoting from Isaiah chapter 42, which is at the end of our gospel reading. The last verse from that quote reads as follows. In His name, the nations will put their hope. My friends, you are the nations who hope in Jesus. Tonight, the prophet's candle reminds us that Jesus came into the world just as He promised. Jesus came to give you hope through the forgiveness of your sin. However, those whose sins are forgiven also have the certain hope of eternal life with God. In other words, the prophet's candle is not only about the first coming of Christ for our forgiveness. It's also about the second coming of Christ for our resurrection and eternal life. You see, when Scripture speaks of hope, it doesn't mean a personal dream that may or may not come true. No, my friends. The Christian hope is based on the very promises of God, which are absolutely certain. So as people who trust in Jesus, we have the certain hope of life in the face of death, because we have God's promise that at Christ's second coming, our bodies will be resurrected and we will live forever with God in the new creation He will give us on that day. We will then live forever in the pure light of God's love, in the pure light of His life, and there will be no more darkness. As we behold the first candle of the Advent wreath, the prophet's candle, we are reminded that everything the prophets wrote about Christ's first coming came true. Their words of hope came true because their words are the very Word of God. And in the same way, their words about Christ's second coming will also be fulfilled because their words are God's Word for us so that we may have hope. My Christian brothers and sisters, the same Jesus who healed that man on the Sabbath will return one day and give you the ultimate healing, resurrection, and eternal life in His kingdom of light. No wonder the nations hope in Jesus, the light who shines in our darkness. Amen.